Hello everyone, and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where we take a critical look at a number of topical developments from the past few days with a leadership and management theme. I am Rod Jones, Content Manager at the Institute, and in this podcast we will be looking at news from the week beginning the 6th of May. Joining me to analyse these stories is Kate Cooper, Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Rod.
Our first story comes from the London Marathon on the 28th of April, where it is alleged that the final wave of runners were bullied and harassed. Elizabeth Ayres, a Blue Wave pace setter, published a lengthy Facebook post highlighting the treatment of the slower runners. Miles 13 through to 18 were horrendous. We were sprayed with cleaning fluid and water from the cleanup vehicles. And later on the Victoria Derbyshire show, Ayres said that cleanup contractors and officials in Virgin London Marathon branded blue jackets had bullied and made personal abusive comments at slower runners. Virgin London Marathon director Hugh Brashear has promised a thorough investigation. But my question, Kate, is what lessons can leaders learn from this clash of expectations and reality in what was an extremely high-profile event?
Well, I think it's rather more than a clash of expectations and reality. I think it's a great example of where an initiative in one part of the organisation, which is very well intentioned, which in this case was to be truly inclusive, is not permeated the whole of the organisation. And when you have something as huge and complicated as the marathon, you've also got a lot of subcontractors, different suppliers. So it's really beholden on Virgin to make sure that the values that they want to espouse are shared and acted out by all those suppliers and the subcontractors. Because, of course, the people who are closest to the runners, the customer-facing people, if you like, are actually delivering the service. And this was a dreadful example of how what was well-intentioned, great policy, is not enacted. It doesn't become real. And the people who suffered here were obviously the runners at the end of the race. So I think what leaders can learn from this is that if you are going to have these initiatives, however well-intentioned, the real question is, how are we going to make sure it happens throughout the organisation? How are we going to get everybody on board with these high ideals?
Our second story comes from a Business Insider interview with British Vogue publisher Vanessa Kingery, talking about the historic tension between leaders engaged with the business side of an organisation and the creative people who are responsible for delivering its products. As a result of her closer collaboration with the creative team, Kingery says that the legendary magazine is taking a more courageous approach to risk, and it's paying off. Kingery advocates harnessing the skills of a diverse creative team. From my perspective, she says, diversity is amazing for business. And I'm not just talking about diversity from the point of view of ethnicity, which I think is the most visible touch point of diversity. It's just about having people who think about things differently. This can encompass class, physical ability, sexuality, religion. Kate, what should leaders take away from Kingery's account in terms of how to interact with creatives in the most effective way and how to build a spirit of fruitful collaboration with artistically driven staff?
Well, I think there are two issues here. We've got those tensions that exist, and I think they're not just between creatives and business people. They exist in all sorts of organisations. In universities, you will have them between the academic and the administrative staff. In hospitals, and we were hearing last night at an Institute event, NHS Wales Finance Academy were talking about the tensions that exist between clinicians and people in finance. So those people that are driving the business and those people that are presenting the creative content in this case should clash. There should be tensions because they are driven by different values, different motivations. I think the point that she's making about thinking differently is incredibly well made, because you do want people thinking differently, and not just difference in appearance or difference in gender. I think this is a real core to different sorts of thinking, and that's where a really neurodiverse team is going to help you think outside of the box, to use a dreadful cliche, but to bring new and different perspectives into what you're talking about. So as I say, this is bold from Vogue, but absolutely seems to be paying off in terms of the success that they're having with this strategy.
Thank you, Kate. Now, our final story concerns a 6th of the May interview with Wired, in which Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella declared that the days of big tech firms giving talented jerk characters the benefit of the doubt were finally over. "That's done," he told the journal. "In 2019, to succeed, I hope everybody joining this industry starts by saying, I want to be great by honing my skills, but I want to create energy around me where people of all genders and ethnicities can contribute." A recent report from specialist researchers AI Now revealed that the technology's diversity problem is tainting the product of the fast-growing artificial intelligence industry, in that bias in AI systems reflects historical patterns of workplace discrimination. "Fixing the talent pipeline," it stresses, "is not good enough. The focus on the pipeline has not addressed deeper issues with workplace cultures, power asymmetries, harassment, exclusionary hiring practices, unfair competition, and tokenization that are causing people to leave or avoid working in the AI sector altogether." Kate, I'd like to ask you, if technological shortcomings are infecting its product lines, how can its leaders purge the sector's inner talented jerk?
Well, I think a great place to start is calling it out, and in not very complimentary terms, as he has done here, coining this expression, talented jerk. And I think it's important to remember that however talented an individual is, they also have to work with other people. And if their behaviour is such that we describe them as being jerks, then maybe we have to forego the talent. You cannot perhaps easily train, develop the talent. This is might be something brings with them to the job, but where you certainly can help them is how they relate to other people. But this isn't a quick fix. This is really a long-term investment in helping people become self-aware, to uncover their conscious and unconscious biases, and to actually do something about it. And so often when we're in that place of recognizing that there's work to be done on our ability to relate to other people and how hard we work at that, there's a degree of discomfort, which of course people often avoid. And if there is a resistance to engaging with that sort of development, well then, as I said, I think those people just have to be let go, because it seems absolutely evident that if AI is going to be successful and it's not going to perpetuate inequalities, we have to have a much more diverse pool of people working in that industry. Because as we've seen already with so many stories that come out, if you base the input to start the whole process off on historic data, you are going to get those endemic inequalities, because that's what's happened in the past and they're going to be perpetuated. So I think we need these diverse people to create the sort of future that we want. So it's absolutely vital that these issues are addressed, and I'm pleased to see that Microsoft are calling them out, and we just have to wait to see what they really do about correcting this lack of diversity.
Okay, thank you, Kate, and I think that's a story that we will keep coming back to, given the importance of artificial intelligence. Well, that concludes this week's episode. And listeners can find further topical development in the news and views section on the Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. And thank you once again, Kate, for your insights on these stories.
Thanks very much, Rod.